Yarrowmoan's life fell apart when he was 11. They jailed his deadbeat dad for not paying child support to his mom, who was struggling to raise three kids on her own. His mother had a nervous breakdown, and Yarrow and his younger siblings were sent to a children's home, where Yarrow lived for several years. I just kept saying to myself, "When I get out of here, I'm going to start running my life," he told me. Yarrow learned unrelenting self-reliance. Anissa Telwar began working for her mother at 17. I asked her if she had any self-awareness back then. "Yes," she said. "I was aware of all I lacked." She didn't look right. She didn't act right. Anissa was never enough of anything good. And if she ever forgot it, her mother was right there to remind her. Alcohol and drugs became Anissa's solution. At 19, she walked through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. Today, both Yarrow and Anissa run large, profitable organizations. Yarrow made his way in media and telecommunications, senior leadership, and CEO roles. And today, he's the CEO of National Public Radio, NPR. Anissa left her mother's employ at 21 and started her own company, Anissa International, which has become an accomplished maker of cosmetic accessories. In 2017, it celebrated 25 years of excellence. Not all of us end up running or starting companies, to be sure, and not all of us are impacted by such tough childhoods. Let's look at a few other examples of experiences that can hold us back from bringing our best emotional selves to relationships in and out of the workplace. James can't shed his feelings that he is stupid. He thinks it stems from an incident in third grade when he got a failing grade on a composition, and his teacher made him stand up in front of the room and show the class his paper with all the red marks slashed through it. By high school, I was hanging out with a bunch of losers like me who were just barely getting by in school. A journalist named David found himself terrified of driving to unfamiliar places. Given how that made his work a challenge, he sought a therapist to better understand and hopefully overcome this fear. With her help, he recalled an incident when he was 5 years old traveling with his family in Europe. While his parents were buying tickets for a show, he wandered off and got lost. An old woman took his hand and began leading him away until two police officers intercepted her. Reunited with his parents, he remembers the police telling them that they'd seen this woman try to take children before, in her mind, borrowing them because she'd lost her own child. Prince Harry went public in 2017 about beginning therapy for the grief he still carried from losing his mother, Princess Diana, 2 decades earlier. All these examples reflect inner scars and wounds that need to be dealt with, healed, if you're to bring good mental and emotional health to work. My story goes like this. What I recall as a child was feeling invisible. This was likely some sort of middle child syndrome. But, I also happened to be born with supersensitivity. My sisters and brother pestered me and nicknamed me Sensitive Sue. I wrestled with this tension of both demanding, "Someone pay attention to me," and quickly shying away if someone wasn't being gentle and kind. This played out in multiple childhood dramas in which I had the starring role, like faux fainting spells during church service or on the playground. I ran away from home a bunch of times. In high school, I found alcohol, which would catch up with me later on. When I finally got to college, I dropped out in the third semester of my freshman year. "I've had enough of this," and moved across the country to live with my sister. I did eventually go back and finish, but my ride into adulthood was rocky.